Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with your host, Calican CEO, Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by David Miguel. David is the owner operator of Elevated Hemp and the owner and CEO of Earth Journey Productions, and also a self-proclaimed cannabinoid. So really happy, really excited to have you on today. So thanks for joining us today, David.
Hey, thanks so much, Maynard. I appreciate you having me on Dank Discussions.
No, it's cool, man. Excited and, anticipating a dank discussion for sure. You know, today we're going to be talking, obviously, what does it mean to be a cannabinoid, right? What does that mean? You know, and also talking about turning cannabis and, into cannabinoid-based therapy. We're definitely going to get into the ECS, you know, endocannabinoid system, and how that connects our body and mind. I think, you know, that's a really cool topic that we're getting into. And going from there, man. So, you know, a lot to talk about for sure. As I always say, you know, we're going to start it off easy, right? So let our listeners know where you're based out of today.
Okay. Well, I am in a small town right out of Bellingham, Washington. We're right along the Canadian border, and I've been up this way for about 20 plus years. I'm originally from San Antonio, Texas. So I guess you could say in a lot of ways, I'm a cannabis refugee, because I found my way to Washington because of, you know, the medicinal, the medical, the legal lifestyle.
And on both sides of the, both borders, right? You know, all the way down from, right there in Texas, and now up there in Washington. So that's awesome.
Well, and it's great, because I feel like, you know, I'm bringing the knowledge back home. You know, it's really interesting to see they don't have the full cannabis legalization, but they do, you know, have the movement towards hemp, and they are applying medicinal marketing to hemp. So, you know, it's really cool to see.
For sure. Yeah, no, definitely. And that brings up, right, I mean, talking about Texas, and Texas still going through the process, obviously a lot different, you know, and you said it's been 20 years since you've been there. But talk to me about that contrast, right, between San Antonio and Washington, how that, you know, kind of how that contrast that you've seen, and how do you see that kind of playing out as well, you know, spreading in those other parts across the country?
Yeah. Well, I think the most interesting thing is, like I said, all my family's still in Texas. And, you know, for a long time, I was kind of the black sheep. But I think, you know, as things become more acceptable and rules and regulations change, people become more open to hearing, you know, what you're offering. And I think that's the big change that you've seen with the legalization of hemp. You know, to be clear, I'm someone who follows the biology. It's all cannabis sativa L to me. But there are federal and state breakdowns of what we classify as cannabis and what we classify as hemp. But those cannabinoids exist, those medicines exist in both the plants, just to varying degrees. You know what I'm saying? So like in Texas, it's interesting, because you have places like Austin, where we know they've been doing the medical thing for a while. We know what's up off the grid. But now they're legally allowed to start setting up basically these hemp dispensaries. And as long as they're keeping the THC with their flower under that dry weight 0.3% THC, they're good to go. So that opens up their people to flavonoids, terpenes, all the other cannabinoids, CBG, CBN, CBD. And then when you look into the isolated compounds that you can get from hemp and cannabis as well, it's kind of changing the game a little bit. You know, I mean, cannabis is the high THC is actually going to be last in Texas, you know, whereas, you know, for us in Cali, Washington, Colorado, like, you know, the high THC was first. And it's interesting, because in Washington, I almost feel like I'm fighting from going backwards, because with recreational, we've taken a lot of the medicinal mindset out of it. But we need it, because as patients, we're being forced into the recreational market. So there needs to be companies, there needs to be leaders and experts out there who can inform people that, hey, there's language beyond the getting high. There's science that supports these medicines on a completely different level. And your body, whether we call it God or science, is pre-wired to receive the benefits of these things. You know, that's the connection between the endocannabinoids from within your body and the cannabinoids that we consume, the phytocannabinoids, which are from plants.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, that's been kind of a shame that we have seen, right? I mean, we had a guest on quite a while ago now, Dr. Dave, Four Pillars of Wellness, right? And he was talking about, you know, how cannabis has always kind of been called a gateway drug, right? And he's like, it is, you know, a gateway to wellness, you know, and it's, you know, that's what we're seeing in like Texas, right? You know, like you're saying, where it's like, I'm from LA, you know, I'm from Cali, and I've been kind of obviously disappointed in how, you know, it started off as medical marijuana and how the emphasis kind of, like you were saying, right, it shifted away from this kind of medical kind of thing and into this, like, you know, obsession with THC content and trying to get the most THC content there. And, you know, kind of sacrificing, obviously, you know, terpenes, flavonoids, like you're saying, other cannabinoids and all that kind of stuff, you know, just this kind of weird Frankenstein kind of thing going on, you know, in that regard. But
Well, and so people understand, you know, I'm not somebody sitting here talking. I have, you know, 20 plus years in this. I was a medical patient when I met my wife. I don't think she thought we could have had a can of lifestyle, if you will. And, you know, we have a daughter, you know, we have a lifestyle out of this, but we have continued when Washington went recreational, they continued to have a really weak medical program, but people didn't know about it. So we helped patients for as long as we could. And then we had an opportunity to go into the rec market. And I was the primary grower. I've been growing cannabis, marketing, packaging it, trimming it, all those things for years and years. I've defended myself in California, actually.
I think it'd be really interesting to hear, you know, your background all the way back, like way back, you know, way before.
So pretty much, other than my 4 years in the military, cannabis has always been a part of my life, whether, you know, anybody liked it or not. And I tell people all the time, the 4 years I was in the military, it took me about 8 or 10 to unlearn everything that I learned and that I experienced and that I saw. And to be clear, I didn't see or experience nearly to the degree what I know other veterans themselves have seen. But that said, cannabis played a huge role in what you were talking about earlier, which is, and there's research in California to show this, that yes, cannabis can be a gateway drug, but it also, for some of us, can be what we refer to as an exit drug. You know, by the time I got out of the military, my brother, they didn't have it diagnosed back then, but I was what was referred to as a binge drinking alcoholic. I had all kinds of other issues. I went my rounds with other drugs, and it wasn't until I was injured in Alaska after the military. I spent about 10, 12 years in the fishing industry in Alaska and here in Washington. And I worked with my body in ways that just in mind that people can't really comprehend unless you've done it. But then I got hurt, right? I got hit at the base of the skull and the back of the spine with a hose. And a lot of my friends and family say it was the hit in the head that rewired me. But it was the first time in my life I began to look at cannabis as a medicine, you know, and through that, those pains, those injuries, I continued to learn to use it. I continued to learn about it. And now it has just been a matter of trying to find my place in it. You know what I mean? With the shifting of legal weed comes big corporation, right?
Yeah, I think that's kind of all where we're at, you know, in that regard, you know, and kind of waiting for that big wave, you know, kind of thing. And it's kind of been coming in a little bit, but in a different way. So yeah. So then now, you know, now update me now. Let's bring me up to speed. So, you know, yeah. So four years in the military, obviously, you know, and kind of changing that mindset, right? Like having that, you know, that paradigm shift, right? Where now it's, you know, all the other things they're into and everything like that. And now shifting that mindset that cannabis is, you know, medicine, right? So what's going on now, you know, talk to me.
So then, you know, with that mindset, my wife and I took our opportunity in the recreational market. We had a chance to be involved with that. And in the 3 years that we were doing that, I got real sick. I got real unhealthy. It was all kinds of stress, anxiety. It affected my relationships. And I'm not saying that happens to everybody, right? But that's what happened to me and my wife. It was all consuming. And about 30 days before Corona hit the rest of the world, we made a shift away from the recreational market. I got my little half acre property here qualifies as agriculture. So I got my hemp license, right? And I was like, you know what? Instead of this big corporate route, we're going to do our mom and pop thing. We're going to go back to our roots, which is educating people, empowering people behind this, moving them beyond the old terminology and language. And then, like I said, that's what led me to the whole idea behind being a cannabinoid. Was I was like, you know, if we are going to market these cannabinoids, these cannabinoid based pills, like all of these oils, then I better know about them, right? And how better to know about them than to experience them? And it was through that I really began to educate myself about the endocannabinoid system, which has been called the most important medical discovery about the human body in the 20th century. And yet, ironically, you have someone like me who's having to tell people about it because it is not taught in medical school, unfortunately.
No, yeah, definitely. You know, so, I mean, you mentioned the word cannabinoid, right? So what is it? Is that just like, you know, experimenting, learning, you know, that continued paradigm shift that you're talking about? What exactly, you know, if you could explain exactly what does it mean a cannabinoid, you know?
Okay. Well, let's start with the function of the ECS, right? So the endocannabinoid system is basically the primary system that is what they call a master regulator. It basically has a hand or plays a part in every other system of the body as it regulates homeostasis or balance, right? So you have all these receptor sites. You have more cannabinoid receptors in your body and in your brain than any other receptors in the human body. And once again, we didn't really discover these receptors until the late 80s, early 90s, when they were, you know, synthesizing THC and trying to figure out how THC worked on the brain. So when you learn about the ECS and you learn about these things, then you begin to look at cannabinoids and cannabinoid-based medicine in a different light, right? Like, I understand what THC does to me. I use it all the time. But for me, I was telling you earlier about how sick I was, right? Well, then my wife was like, okay, well, you're getting CBD relief from pain. Let's try having CBD through your gastrointestinal tract, right? So that means we need to consume CBD in edible form, right? That's the other thing. You have to educate people on how taking different things different ways, similar to THC with smoking versus an edible, correct? Totally different experience, right? What's the same way with these other cannabinoids? Understanding not only what they do, but what they do with how we consume them plays a big role in our exploration of what I refer to as our universe, our independent ECS within. And so it is a journey. It is a journey understanding, but I think by educating people, a cannabinoid is basically somebody who wants to be educated on their cannabinoid experiences, you know, and empowered. You know, this once again, you know, there's a lot of people who use it for escapement because that's the marketing behind it. But there's a whole lot of us that have been empowered and been liberated by it, if you know what I'm saying.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, you know, so then, you know, that takes them to the next thing, right? So here you are, exploration. And, you know, you mentioned a couple of times, you know, getting sick, you know, obviously, you know, so, you know, so ECS is something that we've obviously covered a lot on this podcast, you know, and, you know, this podcast, or most people who listen are, you know, people who are pretty savvy in the industry or know, you know, plenty about cannabis already. So, but, you know, something that, you know, you mentioned, right, is connecting how the ECS kind of is, you know, connecting the mind and body, right, together.
Right.
So talk to me about that. You know, what does that mean to you in that regard?
Cool. So, you know, we understand that we have these cannabinoid receptors all throughout our body, but in greatest concentration are the CB1 receptors in the brain and the central nervous system. And they primarily have the endocannabinoid anandamide, right? And anandamide has also been called the bliss molecule. And it's really interesting because these cannabinoid receptors, particular cannabinoids bind with particular receptors in different ways, and thus the varying effects that happen, right? So like the reason that we feel the effects of THC in our brain and in our body so much is because THC binds with the CB1 receptors in greater concentration. Now, with what's really interesting, I do want to let everybody know that I too am learning, right? So that's part of being a cannabinoid. I used to tell people, oh, well, the difference between THC and CBD is THC primarily hits CB1 receptors, CBD hits primarily CB2 receptors. Well, in fact, what I have learned through my own research preparing for this is that CBD doesn't actually bind to either of the receptors, but it plays a role in supporting both of them. And so once again, being a cannabinoid means, okay, well, if I know CBD relieves physical pain when I eat gummies or take oils, I want to know long-term what happens when CBD goes through my gastro tract. So, and I'm making my, to be clear to everybody out there, my doctors know about this. I am another part of being a cannabinoid, I think, is being empowered behind this, telling your doctors, hey, look, this is what I'm doing, because what's happening to them is it's the reverse model anyways, right? Like the drug commercials on the TV screen, people are already coming to their doctor saying, I'm taking this stuff and I'm feeling effects from it. So I'm forcing my doctors to say, hey, acknowledge my CBD. So for example, a year ago, I was taking upwards of 800 milligrams of ibuprofen a day, intermittently for my pain. I'm a year out from that, and I supplement, meaning through my gastro tract, 100 to 200 milligrams of CBD every day. And I no longer take ibuprofen. Now, I'm not a doctor. You know, I can't say, you know, what exactly is happening, but I can tell you my ECS is coming into balance. I'm 48 years old, brother. And this is the first time I've been able to, I don't have soda cravings anymore, right? Like I don't have sugar cravings because my ECS is working because I'm supplementing it with all these various cannabinoids. Once again, it's not just THC. It's not just CBD. It's not the individual cannabinoids we're marketing. It's more about the role that these cannabinoids have, the effects that they have on us, similar to all the other things that we take that affect our brains and our body. Caffeine, for example.
Well, that's really interesting, you know, honestly, you know, because, you know, we talk about, obviously, you know, how our body craves, right, the endocannabinoid system and, you know, craves kind of these cannabinoids, obviously, phytocannabinoids and all these things going on. But you're telling me that you've achieved a state of like balance, right? Like, I think that's been some that's your cravings have gone down because of this as well? Or, I mean, you know, talk to me a little about that process then, you know, I mean,
right.
That's pretty interesting, you know, cause you know, I mean, we've had people on the show who talk about how obviously, you know, with our own, everybody's DNA makeup requires that we all have different, you know, terpene profile and cannabinoid profile and for different times and for different things. And, you know, so I can imagine it took a lot of trial and error. Like, talk to me, what does that mean? You know, I've found balance in my ECS and now it's kind of like lowering, you know, how do you come about that? And kind of, what does that look like? You know, what does your kind of practice or you know, dosaging or anything like that look like?
Well, I have to also contribute it to change in lifestyle, right? So like for a lot of people, just like a lot of people, you know, the current, you know, issues of the world, it changed my lifestyle dramatically. And so, you know, when I got hold of my time, right, I got hold of my personal energy. And once I got hold of my personal energy, I was able to focus more. And what I've learned with my ECS, right? So I'll give you an example. I need to give examples of people who are in my life. So my wife, right? She's always primarily been, she uses THC. She really uses what we term indicas, which we know has more to do with the flavonoids and the terpenes than the actual THC itself. But she has always used indicas at night, right? Well, what we've actually discovered is instead of using a whole lot of THC, we use a little bit of CBN. And the way that CBN works in the brain, and I don't know, I have to be completely honest, I don't know completely how it works, but I can attest to the effects, is it is similar to like a melatonin or a valerian root. So it's just another tool in the toolbox, right? You know, we don't want to be dependent on anything. And I can attest to the fact that my own THC has adjusted how and when I use it, because I am using these other cannabinoids. And what's really nice and important, I think, is that especially people who are limited by what they can use for cannabinoids, like medical professionals, police officers, emergency techs, there is cannabinoid-based therapy that can help their ECS beyond the THC. But to be clear with you, Maynard, your body makes endocannabinoids. These phytocannabinoids are supplementing our endocannabinoids. And there is direct new science that talks about things like endocannabinoid deficiency, right? Where some people's ECSs, because if it balances you out, some people's ECSs are so out of whack, right? Because we no longer have PTSD. We have DTSD, daily traumatic stress disorder. The shit just keeps piling up, right? And that's the power of becoming a cannabinoid, is it's really taking control of not only your ECS, but your mind and your body. And when you take control of your mind and your body, then it makes your experience with these cannabinoids all that much more enjoyable. You're not afraid of your medicinals anymore, right? Like you embrace them. And the beautiful thing is, because of your ECS, because these phytocannabinoids aren't nearly as bad for you as opioids or, you know, any of the different zines out there. Even if it doesn't work for you, you can stop, you know, but then you have people like my mom who used to flush my weed down the toilet back in the day. And now she's a full on cannabinoid. You know, the other day she's in Texas. She took a Delta 8 to help her sleep, you know? So it's just a really cool time. And I think, you know, it's really about embracing the freedoms, but with that freedoms, let's be responsible and empowered behind what we're doing, because it makes the experience all that more beneficial. You know what I'm saying?
3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
We at Calican are passionate about cannabis and CBD marketing, branding, SEO content and web design. If you are a cannabis owner and you know you need an uptick in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us today.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, that's, you know, I think, you know, you mentioned something there that really caught my ear, right? You know, daily traumatic stress disorder.
I mean,
that's some scary
shit. You heard it here first.
You know, the thing is, like, you know, I don't disagree, because I think, you know, what happens, you know, and I just, you know, or what can happen, right, is like you said, right, the buildup, right, that should happen throughout the day. And I think what we've seen in, you know, in our society is that, why do people get so frustrated? And, you know, I'm not talking about like clinical anxiety. I'm not talking about like clinical depression. I'm talking about, like, you know, when people are feeling down, or this shit kind of builds up, and the anger that builds up, and the stuff that, you know, we don't have any sort of release. I think sometimes they people think like, okay, cool, I'm going to work, and at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to go and watch some Netflix, or I'm going to go and I'm going to, you know, have a glass of wine, or, you know, whatever.
Go buy some weed and I'm going to go and have, chill,
I'm going to go and have a blunt, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And listen, you know, the whole thing is, all things are supposed to be tools, right? But I think sometimes it also boils down to, how are we processing things, right? You know, how do we process the daily stimuli that happens in the moment? And then at the end of the day, right, you know, at the end of the week, you know, are we letting things build up and get to us? Or are we kind of addressing things, nipping in the bud as it happens throughout the day? You know, like somebody cuts me off, you know, on the 405 or whatever it is, right? You know, am I going to get pissed at them and say, fuck that guy, and or I'm going to say, hey, you know what, like, everything's for the good. Or, you know, I'm washing some dishes and I drop a dish and I'm going to say, oh my gosh, what an idiot I am, and how could I have done that? So, you know what, like, maybe something, you know, maybe there's some bigger things to play here. Maybe that was actually a good thing that happened. You know, do we accept and with love and gratitude, or are we always getting pissed at shit? And that's when that shit kind of becomes traumatic, right? When we, like, I'm not talking about like big traumas and shit. I mean, obviously, I mean, you're a veteran, you've been through some shit, you know? And like you said, you know, I think you kind of downplayed yours and kind of said, well, I know there's other people had more, but listen, whatever it is, I mean, even I've seen some of these military videos, just even training, you know, getting maced in the face and, you know, all this kind of shit that people have to go through just during boot camp and stuff. But you know what I'm saying?
But look, brother, I think you're using a really fine example with like the whole stress on the freeway, right? Because anybody can relate to that, right? And I would say, people whose ECSs are out of whack, those are the people who end up doing the wrong things in those situations to some extent. Like, I really believe there is a level to consciousness in our decision making, even when we are in stressful environments. And I think that's when you begin the mind-body connection with the ECS, is the ability to ground the stresses, right? What I found really unique about the endocannabinoid system is that literally every mammal has an endocannabinoid system. Every creature other than insects have an endocannabinoid system. It is a direct correlator to our flight or fight syndrome. And so when I talk about daily traumatic stress disorder, right, the ECS regulates inflammation. I think what we lose sight of is, we talk about inflammation in its marketing form, and we also often think of it as physical outward pain, but psychological inflammation exists. And, you know, this is where they've done research with veterans and with PTSD. And some of the benefits of things like THC is the fact that it does break that short-term memory cycle. So we always see that as a bad thing. But for some people who are constantly replaying a negative experience in their mind, that is exactly what the ECS is. It is a negative feedback loop. It is responding to all the shit you're taking in, or all the shit you're letting yourself think, right? Because that's the way our mind works too. Either we can work to control those thoughts. That's the idea behind meditation and breath work, which also stimulate endocannabinoids, by the way. There's a large group of people that use cannabinoids as part of their health and wellness and interactive lifestyle. You know, the couch potato mindset, like that's just old news to me. You know what I'm saying? I operate at too high a frequency with my ECS.
For sure. But yeah, I mean, that just all goes back to the mind body connection that we're talking about, right?
Yes, sir.
Where it's like,
right,
you know, I think sometimes we look at our way of handling stress into the way our body feels, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if we feel anxiety, if we feel fear, you know, you're talking about that fear, you know, the fight or flight kind of reaction, you know, and, you know, I think combining that mind aspect is so important, you know, that conscious yes. aspect, even if it's subconscious, right? So that, mm-hmm. that subconscious, that unconscious kind of aspect, and being able to get deep in there, hopefully even before, you know, those thoughts creep up. But I mean, obviously we all need to clean it out every once in a while in terms of things that, you know, resentments, angers, you know, sad things that we processed the wrong, you know, kind of incorrectly the first time around, you know, but it's an all encompassing thing. You know, if we're just trying yes. to relieve our bodily, you know, stresses and reactions and all that kind of fun stuff, I think we're missing the point, you know, and I think that's kind of what you're getting at, right? You know, in terms of that balance aspect of the ECS and everything.
Like yeah.
that.
Well, and I mean, you know, for a lot of my folks, you know, besides, you know, this kind of lifestyle, you know, we're all energy workers, right? In some sort of way. And, you know, I try to explain to people, you know, I have simplified my life to that of a car battery, right? Okay. So essentially, how does a car battery work, right? So you have to take the negative and you have to ground the negative. The only way that car battery works is if the positivity is flowing. And the only way the positivity flows is if you ground the negative. If your negative is not grounded, you have a short, right? Or you have a sensory overload, because to understand what is happening in your body, you have to come back to the brain. And the brain doesn't understand the difference between fight or flight or even joy or elation, right? Because it's both an upward excitement of stimuli. Think about the high and the low your ECS goes through when you're at a sporting event and your team's about to win it. And then they miss the winning shot. You know what I'm saying? That is our ECS, like seeing us go way up, seeing us come down, and keeping us somehow trying to keep us in balance in between that. That's a very simplified form of it, but hopefully you get what I'm saying.
No, man, that's good stuff. You know, and I love that. That's like, you know, me and my wife, we listen to a lot of like motivational guys and, you know, a lot of,
yeah,
you know, spiritual stuff. And, you know, there's always like cute ways of putting things, right? You know, and, you know, it's like, don't say you're going through something, say you're growing through something. TM, you know, it's
yeah.
like, you know, don't eat the stuff you're don't eat the stuff your face, eat the face your stuff, you know, all these kind of things, right? You know, and yeah. it's just like, I'm like, that's fucking great. But I love what you said, right? You got to ground the negative and let the positivity flow. Otherwise you short circuit, you know, and just like,
yeah,
I mean, you know, I know a lot more about ECS than I do about car batteries, but, you know, I get the picture for sure. You know, so.
Well, and I think that's when we're talking about this DTS, right? Like we're, especially with today's information age and social media, you know, we're just so overstimulated. So, you know, it's really, you know, I wouldn't be doing my due diligence if I didn't mention, you know, some of the people I am learning this stuff from. Even if I don't fully grasp everything they're saying, there's some really amazing people out there that identify themselves now as endocannabinologists. I got to get that right. And these are doctors such as Dr. Rachel Knox, the Knox family, who are really taking another hard look at the ECS and ECS wellness programs, because we already understand the damage that has been done, you know, by some of the things that Big Pharma is doing. So we either take control of our industry or, you know, other people are, and I don't want that.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, there's so much to be learned. I'm really grateful for the progress been made, and my wife, her parents are been on the front lines of a lot of social issues and that kind of stuff, you know. I always wonder, you know, they're lesbians and they were, you know, adopted my wife, you know, when she was at birth, and they were like, you know, one of the first women to get married and all those kind of things in California and New Jersey. And why do I bring this up? Because sometimes I always, you know, I'm like, how the hell do you deal with all this shit? Like, and how do you deal with it now that like, you know, people say, oh, we need more progress and we need more change. And, you know, she's been doing it for 40 years. And, you know, she's like, you know what? Change takes time, you know, takes time. We can't expect it overnight. You know, but you know that, and that, once again, I want to bring that up because that's what we see here, you know, whereas if we're talking about this 40 years ago, it's not that it wasn't known even really so much, you know, and the research that's been done the last 40 years, you know, out of Israel specifically, and, you know, in different places as well, you know, and being able to kind of get all this stuff out, you know, but now 20 years ago, right? What were we able to say? And it was starting to come out, but, you know, it wasn't such widespread. And now look, it just rolls off the tip of our tongue, you know, talking about the endocannabinoid system and talking about sex and everything like that, you know? So, you know, and this is just, you know, I'm from Cali, right? So like you were saying at the beginning, the emphasis was always about THC. It wasn't about different cannabinoids. Yeah. You know, that was just something that, what are you talking about? You know, it's like, so it's really great to see the progress has been made in that regards and to the widespread kind of knowledge and more cannabinoids being added to the fold, like yourself and myself and others out there and listening and not listening and everything else like that. And, you know, but so it's really great. You know, there's a lot of progress being done, you know, in that regard, I guess, you know, shifting gears just, you know, a little bit, right? I mean, talk to me about now, you know, your company and Elevated Hemp, and the progress is being done there and kind of what you guys got going on. And
well, the first thing I want to say is I really appreciate what you do as a platform. You know, there's a lot of big companies out there, but I think a lot of the small companies, the mom and pops, or, you know, the mom and moms, like, you know, like,
exactly. Right. The dad,
you know, like, yeah, bro, like
it's, the human and human, the cannabinoids and cannabinoids,
dude,
you know?
I tell people all the time, I don't care how different you say we are, the ECS says we're the same. So that's where I fall on that line of questioning all around, you know, because for me, the mind-body connection also, I think, leads further into what I tell you I'm always mindful to discuss, which is my soul beliefs, you know, and I want to be as healthy. Yeah, for sure. I want to be as grounded. I want to be as ready for whatever good, bad, or ugly comes my way, right? To me, that's what being a conscious being means. You may not be able to control everything, but the things you have control over, doing them with the highest vibration, doing them with the best light, the best intentions. And that's, I think, what we're trying to do with our company. You know, I want people, yes, we have products, but we believe that the products will sell themselves when you give people the knowledge, the education, the support. You know, we really love being in touch with our clients. I mean, right now, to be honest with you, you know, a lot of our clients are friends, family, community, the people we've been doing this with, you know, for a long time. But I am hoping that by being on your platform, I can also seek out more connection, like you were talking about, right? Because there are also limitations in this cannabinoid experience, depending on where you live by state. So I'll give you an example. My company, because of the beneficial things that happened to me with edible CBD, my wife makes the best cookies and low glycemic index edibles. But in Washington State's trying to push everything into the rec market, right? So they have come up with their own state guideline following FDA recommendations. Hey, you can't put CBD in the food. Well, that's why I'm reconnecting with people in Texas and in California, because those states are going a different route. They're saying, look, all we're going by is the federal guideline. And now what other people want to do with it, hey, just follow the rules of good manufacturing practices, right? It's one of the things we do with our products. We don't just source products from anybody selling anything. We're finding the people who are planning to be here for a while, you know? Because we finally, you know, have our foot in this where, you know, we have ownership. And I think that's the other thing with this emerging industry is, you know, this is an opportunity for everybody to have a little ownership. So we want to help people have ownership, you know, beyond just our own ownership.
No, definitely.
And that's kind of to transition into what Earth Journey Productions is, my other company. That's kind of what we're trying to do, right? So my wife, who is, you know, runs Elevated Hemp, is essentially like, I'm done. Your ECS has maxed me out. I can't create no more. But I love the marketing. I love sharing the knowledge. So my buddy, who's a musician, Adam Stevens, if you want to check him out on Spotify, he's also a really smart guy who can run the books. I was like, let's put this production company together, Earth Journey Productions, and start telling other people's story. You know, so we're literally just getting it off the ground. But what this is allowing me to do is not only have a company and my own brand, but now also shifting and saying, hey, look, who else wants to take this earth journey with us? Who is a cannabinoid? You know, being a cannabinoid doesn't just mean, you know, exploring the cannabinoids from within. We need to talk about these plants and plant energy as renewable energy. It is vitally important at this stage in the game.
Definitely. I love that, you know, and, you know, definitely the connection there, right? Earth Journey Productions and Elevated, and, you know, it seems to carry this theme, you know, of, you know, kind of higher thinking, consciousness, all these kind of things, and spiritual things as well, obviously, right? A little bit more esoteric kind of things, you know, so I love it. You know, I love that for sure. So, you know, so talk to me then a little bit about, you know, in terms of what you guys have coming on here, you know, coming down the line here for Elevated Hemp. Anything that you guys got coming up, coming down the pipe, everything that you're excited about?
Yeah. If it's okay, I'd like to, if you want to find out more information, we're at elevatedhemptokes.com. That's our website. And we are going to be doing our full brand and marketing launch. Like I said, we've kind of been doing a soft launch with friends and families. We will really want it to be knowledge-based. And what we're hoping to do is start connecting some of the next level doctors and practitioners with that. But then beyond that, I think it's looking for the next opportunity for myself as well, right? I hope to expand beyond Elevated Hemp, you know, like with healing comes the ability to help others heal, and there's different ways to go about that. I eventually would like to step out of the realm of just, you know, cannabinoid based products, and I want to start opening up the conversation and networking with people who are looking to do hemp for fiber, you know, hemp for animals as well. You know, I told you earlier about the ECS and, you know, this whole methane talk. What if instead of feeding animals corn, we fed them hemp that their bodies were designed to digest? You know, what does that do for the methane content? So we are looking towards podcasting potentially in the future, looking towards you as, you know, a guide, of course. Yeah, man, it's just maintaining and one person at a time, getting this knowledge out and saying, hey, man, like, I know there's a lot of shadows in the world, but in order for the shadows to exist, there must always first be light. So I tell people, like, I just want to sell you light, bro.
Love it, man. I love that stuff. You know, I love that. So, cool, dude. You know, I really love what you guys are doing for sure. And
thank you.
Excited to hear what you guys got going on coming down the line, you know. So I guess, you know, I always got to ask everybody, you know, this is my favorite topic to talk about, you know,
and yeah,
I was, you know, you've had a great journey and excited to hear what you have to say about this, you know, but, you know, when it comes to success, right, what does success look like for you, right? How do you define success? Whether it be professional, personally, spiritually, you know, in an elevated sense, however you want to just define it.
So I'm going to try not to get emotional. So a lot of people don't know that when my wife and I, when we had the illusion of success, right? We had the recreational brand going. We were working nonstop. We had employees. Well, during that time, I was doing an abundance meditation, right? And in that abundance meditation, this new trinity came to me of understanding time and money and life force. And at that time in my life, Maynard, when I was sick and when I had the illusion of success, but there it wasn't happening. In that meditation, I realized I need more time, because if I have my time back, I can get my life force back. And if I have my life force back, I can play the game of money. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. So time, life force. That's for me, that's what being a cannabinoid is about. It's about my time and my life force.
You know, the time, you know, money comes and goes. We can always make more money, you know, and, you know, but time is something we can't get back. Right. So being able to keep that time, make the most of our time, you know, and have a good quality time, you know, good quality of time.
Quality. You hit the nail on the head. Quality time, right? Like, do we want to just exist, or do we want to, like, you know, proliferate, you know?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You know, I love it. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you, man. I'm sorry to get a little emotional there.
No, I love it. You know, I love it.
It's really been a ride.
That's what I want to hear. You know, that's what I want to hear. You know, it's not just about... Yeah. You know, and then that's why, you know, that's why I always ask this question. And this is always my favorite question, because you don't hear the same answer twice, you know, unless people just go with the whole, oh, you know, a yacht, but that, I mean, how many times, you know, whatever. I think I've heard that once on this thing, you know, and
yeah,
even for them, that's cool, you know, whatever. But, you know, point being is that you really get to the crux of what drive people, you know, what drives you and all that kind of fun stuff. So, David, I appreciate, you know, as we close, you know, how can listeners find out more about Elevated Hemp and Earth Journey Productions and everything you guys are doing, connect with you and get your products and all that fun stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, our website is elevatedhemptokes.com, T-O-K-E-S. Our email, if you want to send us some questions or have any thoughts, is elevatedhemptokes@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram at elevated_hemp. And if you want to just follow me personally and delve a little further into the spiritual side of this lifestyle, I'm on Instagram at D_Earth_Mystic, D Earth Mystic. And then you can look for Earth Journey Productions coming online here real soon.
Sweet. David, Miguel, that was great. I really appreciate you. Once again, so everybody go check out what they got going on both sides with the hemp and the productions and everything like that. I'm really excited for you and great stuff. So thanks again for jumping on with me today, David. Thanks everybody for listening, wherever you're listening, and good luck to you and the rest of the year and beyond.
Thank you, Maynard. And thank you everybody who gave me your time. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Dank Discussions. We are so grateful for each and every one of you. Please make sure you subscribe and leave a review. We want to continue making dank content you want to hear, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calacan.com. That's grow@calacan.com. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter for our latest updates.